the testimony of Daniel. And we have reached, in our study, the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, which is perhaps the most difficult, not only in Daniel, but in all of Scripture. This is true for several reasons. One, there is in this chapter a blending together of, from our perspective, history and yet prophecy still. All of Daniel's prophecy has not transpired. Some of it has. So that's one of the reasons that this becomes very difficult to determine where we are in the course of Daniel's prophecy. Therefore, the problem of determining the point at which history ceases and prophecy continues, it's difficult, and you have to have a great knowledge of history to sort it out. There's no agreement, actually, on it. Also, the close association between the history of Persia, Greece, and the future Antichrist or anti-Christian kings, they are foreshadowings, these kings and these kingdoms, and these people foreshadow people that are yet to be, from Daniel's perspective. And the fourth reason, of course, is to need to know the past history of these kingdoms that make up the Gentile domination over Israel and the city of Jerusalem. I don't know that I'm capable of teaching it. There are, however, four main divisions or sections of this 11th chapter that I think will help us to gain some understanding of what Daniel is being shown here in this 11th chapter by the angel. So if you will, turn your Bibles again to the book of Daniel, to the 11th chapter. And if you remember, the first verse or two tend to go back with the 10th chapter. So we'll start with Daniel chapter 11, verse 2. And now will I show thee the truth, the angel says. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others besides those. And let's stop here as being the first section that we need to consider. Here we find Persian and Greek kings ending in the mighty king, and it is actually Alexander the Great. In these verses, we are linked with the earlier vision in chapter 8. If you'll remember when we were studying back in chapter 8, the he-goat, which was Persia, as being the king of Greece. And before that was the ram in that 8th chapter, being Media, or the king of Persia. And out of the horn of the he-goat came the first king of Greece. Here in this fourth verse, the kingdom divided that we just read about here, the kingdom divided. into four is that of Alexander's kingdom, Alexander the Great. And we know when it was divided, who the kings, not the kings of Greece, but the kings of Persia, and there's speculation about the history, the historians as to who the Persian kings were at this point. I've jumped back to the Persian rather than Alexander the Great. And we can go back in history and we can see that Cambyses, Smerdis, Darius Hyksos, those were the kings that came about in Persia, the three kings that are spoken of there in that second verse. History is very clear with regard to who those are. The fourth one of Persia, it's a little bit difficult. History doesn't bear it out as well. But all agree, all the historians agree, that the mighty king referred to here is Alexander the Great, and that his kingdom was broken into four different kingdoms. And that in itself is also, we'll see later, a foreshadowing of what will happen 2,000 years later. But history bears out that Alexander the Great's kingdom was divided into four. His key generals each took part of the kingdom. Ptolemy took Egypt. Seleucus took Syria. Cassander took Macedonia. And Lysimachus took Asia Minor. It's history. You don't have to guess about that. It's pretty well documented. So I want to review a little bit about this. Go back now to chapter 8. To show that the angel is covering some of what he had already said. In chapter 8 that we studied, verse 8 and 9, therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And that is interpreted then, we read in that eighth chapter. Later in the chapter, we saw where that was explained to some degree, in starting with verse 22 of that eighth chapter. Now, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And if you remember, the king of fierce countenances, that's a term of Antichrist. That's one of the titles given to Antichrist. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, that's Christ, but he shall be broken without hand. So back to chapter 11. Some think that the next verses in this chapter 11 refer to the historical actions of these four generals. And that the prophecy continues at verse 21. Now, if you look at the notes in your companion Bible, you'll see where Dr. Bullinger thinks that this is starting with this fifth verse that we are speaking still of history. And the companion Bible bears that out, because Dr. Bullinger was actually responsible for this companion Bible. However, one of the other great scholars of the time who actually introduced Dr. Bullinger to right division disagrees and thinks that these next verses, this next section, are actually prophesying what will happen as it's foretold and starting in verse 21. I am going to have to leave it to you to make up your own mind. If you want to know my opinion, I tend to think that Charles Welch and Oscar Baker and some of these other scholars are right in their thinking that beginning here in verse 5, we have prophecy yet continuing. But whatever, whether it's prophecy or whether it's history, it is no doubt a foreshadowing of events that eventually will occur. Now, the reason that I tend to go along with Charles Welch is because of what we see in the 14th verse of chapter 10. And the angel says, "Now I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many." So I think that verse in itself gives us an indication that he is speaking future, and that the history ends at the end of verse 4, and he is talking about prophecy from here on. You'll have to decide. If you look at the notes in the companion Bible, and if you know your history good enough, you may conclude that Dr. Bullinger's right. If you go and look what Charles Welch writes, for example, he can convince you the other way. I tend to agree with Mr. Welch. So, the second section then that we want to look at is what I think to be a continuing of the prophecy, beginning with verse 5. "And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of years they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement, but she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand, nor his arm, but he shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of a branch of her root shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt, their gods, with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the north shall come into his kingdom, and shall return into his own land." Here are introduced the king of the north and the king of the south, and we read about them in other places in Scripture as well. In the book of Revelation, the king of the north and the king of the south. And while it's impossible to say which of these countries may be involved, we learn from Scripture prophecy here to watch closely, geographically, what's going on in the Middle East, what is north, and what is south of Israel. A good guess would be Iran and Syria to the north. Those countries came from what was Persia, Media. And if you look at the situation throughout history, and even more so today, what is happening with Iran and Syria to the north, with the quest for nuclear power and so forth, I don't know. And like I've said before, prophecy avails, but prophecy also reveals. And so as you get closer to the time, those of you who are young may have a good idea as to who this king of the north might be. There's a good bet that it's going to be Iran, Syria, those are the countries that are exactly north. Of course, the nemesis of Israel to the south has always been Egypt. But if you are young, and when you see a prince originating in Egypt with great dominion and a marriage alliance between Egypt and the north for the purposes of an agreement, I would take heed, because I think that's what's being prophesied here. We can't see it yet. Now, if you look at the notes that Dr. Bollinger has, he has taken effort to try to find in history circumstances that match that. And it's difficult. But I, like I say, I tend to think we're still looking at prophecy at this point in the book. But when that happens, the time will be coming near to the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. That's the second section. The third section that we want to look at then is verses beginning with verse 20 or verse 10. And here we see in these coming verses this conflict, this ebb and flow, this back and forth between the king of the north and the king of the south. And what is it over? It's over the land, and it's to do with Israel, and it's called the glorious land. This is the conflict in the Middle East, been going on for 2,000 years and still today. So here in these next 10 verses, we begin to see that continuing in history. Verse 10, but his sons shall be stirred up and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through, and then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with coiler and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north, and he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given unto his hand. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision. What is that? Peace. Or the vision of having the land, the promised land. But they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. By his will, the willful king. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither before him. After this shall he turn his face into the isles, that's the islands of off the shores, and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause a reproach offered by him to cease. without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. And then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And Dr. Bullinger points out that he was poisoned. You can see here, this is hard to know. It is such a ebb and flow back and forth between the north and the south and Israel in the middle. And I don't think you really will know until the time comes. And like I say, you that are young may live to see it. And you may look at this and say, oh gosh, that's pretty clear right now. The king down there married, and they had the daughter went up there, and you know, it might be quite obvious. But at this point, it's prophecy, I think, and it's veiled. But whatever the case, it's dire trouble for Israel. And what is going on here in this conflict between the north and the south is an unsuccessful attempt to make peace or to acquire the land or to settle this conflict that's gone on forever, to make an independent nation or to establish the vision. And everybody seems to have a different vision as to what it should be. But there in the 14th verse, many shall stand up against the king of the south, also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision. You've got, I think there's probably everybody in the world involved in this, from the United Nations to the United States, back and forth, and we're seeing, I think, not only what has occurred, but will continue to occur in the Middle East. Robbers of the people. The fourth section of this chapter, beginning with verse 21. Now, in trying to comprehend what Daniel and what's being prophesied and what later we read about in the book of Revelation, it's necessary to understand and distinguish the difference between Antichrist, who is the vile person. Remember, a king of fierce countenance was a title of Antichrist. A vile person is a title of Antichrist. It's important to distinguish between the Antichrist and the beast and Satan. Antichrist is not Satan himself. And it's so easy to get this confused. The beast that's spoken of in that last times, and we're picking some of this up, of course, from Revelation, but that's what Daniel's talking about. The beast is a vast political power. It probably includes the United Nations, whatever. It's political. Political power. With whom the Antichrist works. The Antichrist gets entrenched in there, the vile person. He's working with the beast, this political power. He takes the kingdom by flattery. And we'll read about that here. And who is his God? Satan. So you got to keep that in mind. The beast, the Antichrist or the vile person, king of first countenance, and Satan himself. The vile person or Antichrist, his sphere is religious. He's not political at all. He wants to be worshipped. The beast is political. And he uses that. Here in this 20th verse, the political efforts and power have failed. War and negotiations are over. And up steps this Antichrist, this vile person, who will be slick as you can be, a person who will be a snake in the grass. He'll be appear to be a wonderful person, but everything has failed in order to bring peace to this area. The king in the north and the south has finally come to a place where it's a total standoff. And this is at the middle of the last week that we're now reading about. So let's continue on, verse 21. And here, of course, Dr. Bullinger says that this is future. And Charles Welch says that we just read part of the future. The north and the south is part of it also. But whatever the case, they both agree that from here on we're talking about future events. Verse 21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him and shall be broken, yea, all the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. By the way, what does that tell you? Probably a Jew. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. This person, don't forget, his God is Satan. And he's going to have powers that others don't have. It's like being able to call on something that nobody else can. Principalities and powers he probably has from Satan. For they shall forecast devices. I don't know what that is against him. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down, slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Shittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And you remember we read these verses with regard to what Daniel prophesied in the middle of the week, that last week that Daniel's talking about, where they put the abomination in the temple, the daily sacrifices are done away with. Verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. It's going to be hell on wheel for anybody there who understands what's going on and speaks against it. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with little help. They won't have any help at all. And many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will. This is now Antichrist, the willful king. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. And I think it should say even God. And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. And see, that makes me think it's a Jew also. Nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. And a god whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god. That's Satan himself. Whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. And he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But the tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas of the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. The kingdom is taken by this vile person, this Antichrist, by flattery. And this reference here to the one who is Antichrist is spoken of in all over Scripture. I want to point out a couple of places. And go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's another title of Antichrist. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know that withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. For he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. In other words, We've read about these principalities and powers that are in the world, and he is being allowed to work by God himself, is the one that is letteth him to work. But eventually, according to God's purpose and plan, he's going to be done in. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Even him, that's the vile person, that's the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. He's going to have unbelievable power and strength. And it's only the Lord that will be able to destroy him at the brightness of his coming. This vile person with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, and who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Another place, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, beginning with verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemous, and power was given to him to continue 42 months. And this is the middle of the last week, here again. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in the heaven. And he was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That's Antichrist. He honors the strange God, as we saw in verse 38. None other than Satan himself gives this person power. Therefore, the question is asked, who is able to make war against him? Still, fighting for the land, attacked by kings of the south and kings of the north, go repulsed by this person of power. Overthrowing many countries. I don't know what that is. I don't know who that is. I don't know if that's the United States, Russia, China. I don't know what it is. And yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Smitten by God with the rod of his mouth only, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. It's on page 946 if you're using a companion Bible. Here we read about it, prophesied by Isaiah, beginning with the fourth verse of that 11th chapter. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove the equity of the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the crocodile's dry den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an sign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against a second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Phathis, from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of the Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines towards the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hands upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as was to Israel in the days that they came up out of the land of Egypt. That happens at the end of the last week, the 70th week of Daniel that we have looked at. There's one other scripture that I would like to look at, and that is 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. I'm just reading it again. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. You wonder why Daniel was sick when he saw this, and yet he knew, and it was prophesied, that the Lord would take care of it. But in the interim, he was sick because of what is happening to his people and what will happen over this course of time. Daniel didn't know. He knew it was for a long time. He knew that the 70 weeks actually amounted to 490 years. But what he didn't know was that period in between times that we live in today. But it made him sick. And as I said, this is difficult. One of the hardest chapters in the Bible, I think, to really get a good handle on. But I've hit the main features, I think. And I've pointed out to you what a couple of different real scholars think might be the case. Regardless of which one is right, this that occurred from 21 on will happen. You can just bet your last dollar, because the test of a true prophet is that he's 100% right, always. And so a lot of this has to be worked out, but I just thank God that we have this written word where we can see what is going to occur in the latter times as was revealed to Daniel. Next week we will pick up with the chapter 12. I'm not sure if we'll end next week, Daniel. We'll either end next week or the next week on the book of Daniel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love towards us, the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus, for the written word. I ask again that you would give us open hearts and minds, that we may have the eyes of our understanding opened. Pray for each one here, that you would be with us, guide us, direct us, help us in our daily lives, that we may walk according to your perfect will. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.